Welcome to the Playing Injured podcast, where we have conversations that help people turn their adversity into their advantage. All right. Welcome to another episode of Playing Injured. I'm actually really excited for this episode. We have Brett Snodgrass here. He's the author of The Secret War Within and the founder of Iron Deep and Simple Wholesaling. Brett, how are we doing today?
I'm amazing, Josh. Thanks for having me, man. Brother from another mother.
And I think people will be able to really understand this is because the reason why I'm so pumped is obviously your background, right? You know, former basketball player. And I'll let you kind of share your background. But former basketball player, I get a gist of your upbringing, right? Kind of things you had to get through to become who you are today. And I really can't wait for folks to get a quick insight of what that looked like and what your life looks like today. So I'm pumped.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Well, you just tell me where to start, Josh.
Well, here's where I always start. Every episode, I always start with who is Brett and how does he spend his time today?
No, that's good. That's good. So number one, Brett Snodgrass is a man of faith. I'll start there. I'm a Christian man. I'm a husband to Karen. I'm a father of four kids and I'm an entrepreneur. I've loved creating things from nothing for most of my life. In middle school of selling, I always loved just buying and selling certain things. And to this day, it turned into buying and selling homes, renting out houses, providing a shelter for tenants or homeowners. And that's what I've been doing the last 17, 18 years. But I also love to create books, right? So I just wrote the book, The Secret War Within. I created a men's organization called Iron Deep of business owner men that want to build a brotherhood and go deep together and do life together. That's kind of me, man. I'm a man. I'm an entrepreneur, creator, lover, and man of faith. So,
yeah, I love that. And, you know, looking, obviously, I got a chance to pretty much stock you a good bit to get prepared for this. One thing I saw was, you know, you mentioned, hey, men, as we get older, we lose that creativity, that childlike life that we grew up with, right? That innocence, that adventure, and to actually, you know, kind of be fearless in that. And we get domesticated. And the older I get, right now, I'm 27. And the older I get, the more I see folks who become very complacent, very much on autopilot. And I love what you share. It's like, hey, I started off being a creator and today you're still creating. How did you keep that childlike nature about yourself?
Yeah. I think number one is just being radically honest with who you really are. One of our core values at Iron Deep is we want to be radically honest. And I think men stop being honest with themselves and what they desire, what they really want. Like you said, they get complacent. Maybe it's a cubicle. Maybe it's complacent with their career or job or health or whatever it is. And we just start going through the motions somewhere in the middle of it all. And if you think about when you're a kid, you wanted to achieve, or maybe you wanted to make the basketball team, and then you wanted to go to college and you wanted to be an athlete or a star. And then you got out of college and then everyone's saying, hey, welcome to the real world, you know? Yeah. And you're like, oh, they're all saying this is going to really suck for you, but then you're going to take it by the tail and I want to build this business and be successful. But then I think you just get beaten down, somewhere. And, you just kind of lose that innocence. You lose the wildness of a man. You lose some of that masculinity. I mean, I love adventure. I love to travel. I love to mountains. I love to hike, whitewater rafting, whatever it is. I mean, I love a lot of that stuff. I love to take risks. I mean, men stop taking risks. There was a study done with 90 plus year olds and what their biggest regrets were. And one of them was they didn't take enough risks. So wherever you're at in life, whether you're 27 or 44 or 64, I just encourage you to, what do you want to really do? What do you want to take a risk at? And then how do you consistently keep growing? Because maybe a risk today isn't as risky as what you were before. So for me, like my first house I ever purchased, man, that was like almost the riskiest thing I've ever done. And I was so scared about purchasing this house and what's going to happen. Am I going to lose money? And then I did it. And then now 17 years later, that's not that risky anymore. But now it might be, like, for example, last week we purchased a nursing home, which is like, which is kind of crazy because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea how this is going to go, but that's where I'm at now. So I guess my question is, wherever you're at, what's a risk for you? And just continue taking that, whether it's, yeah, fitness, career, health, family, relationships, asking that girl out. I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah,
so.
Whatever it is. No, 100%. The things that, that kind of scare us to some degree, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think we do get complacent. We do, whether it's, you know, binge out on Netflix, football, whatever the case may be. I know for me, I'm very susceptible to watching the Chicago Bears and looking at all the news that's going on, right? And so one thing I know for sure is we look for that excitement in a lot of different places, right? Whether it is alcohol, it's partying, it's women. We have a lot of folks that are domesticated that do look for that adventure, maybe in the wrong things.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's what, I mean, that's what, why we're going in those directions. We want to feel alive, mm-hmm. or we want to numb the pain.
Yeah.
and we want to numb the reality of just how we're feeling or where we're at. So we go to this false sense, to this false dopamine hit, whatever it is. And we all do it. We're all susceptible to it. Some people, you know, it can be very destructive, whether it's alcohol or relationships or lust or whatever that looks like, or it could be just working all the time and just losing yourself in that, or it could be the social media thing, or it could be Netflix, whatever it is. I guess the question is, again, radically honest with yourself, why do you do that? What is mm-hmm. going on there? Are you just looking for this outlet, just to zone out so you don't have to feel anything? Or are you trying to numb the pain? And yeah, what is it? And I think that's where it all starts. It's like, you know, and when you know this is what I'm looking for, can you place that somewhere else? And I think that's where men fall into. They misplace these desires. They don't know what to do with them. They got this wild desire that they want to feel alive, that they want to live out their passions and their purpose. And there's all these things out there that they put it in, and it's just misplaced. And if you can place that in the right things, I mean, that's where this whole Iron Deep thing comes in. It's purpose, it's faith, it's, that's why I do this. As I write the book, I mean, I just constantly put myself out there, constantly just trying to grow. This is what it's all about, man. So
yeah, see, and just like that, we accidentally stumble into kind of some things that we battle, and we'll go in a little bit deeper than that. But looking at your website here, I saw a quote that really resonated with me. Success shouldn't be the end goal. It should only serve as a platform to make a greater impact in the world, right? Mm. When I saw that, I was like, man, most folks' end goal is myself, man. I want to be successful, whatever that looks like, right? Mm. Whether it's money, cars, vacation, extremely beautiful spouse, perfect body, right? right. I just named all the things that folks want. That's the end goal, right? But what you're saying is, let's create that, not for ourselves and not to kind of get our self-esteem from it, but let's build that as a platform to help others also. Which when you get into a habit of helping folks, which I know you probably have, whether it's through Iron Deep, right? You feel extremely fulfilled when you get off a phone call, a Zoom call, or you come from a conference or whatever the case may be, and somebody looks you in the eye and they tell you, like, man, my life is better off because you're in it, right? Mm-hmm. It's no better feeling than that. No, nothing else more fulfilling than that. Talk about that. What made that be? I'm looking at your website. That's like the top quote. What resonated with you with that?
Yeah. And I get it. I want to talk to your audience because, again, if you're 20, 25, 28, 30 years old, 30, whatever, I've been there. And a lot of times there's a book out there that I read. It's called Halftime. A guy wrote it named Bob Buford. And he talks about like this first half of your life is all about success and chasing success. Yeah. And then you reach it. Many men definitely reach that. And then they spend the second half of their life searching for significance. Because there's a certain point where just money is not going to change much of myself. Like there's a certain point where like, I'm not going to build a bigger home. I'm not going to have a nicer car. There's a certain point where it's just not going to fulfill you. Right. And once you can realize that, I think just the better off. But I love success. Like I love creating, I love chasing, I love building. And success is just a metric for me, like, oh, building something impactful. So now, since we've built, and I'm definitely not the biggest fish in the sea, but I've built some sort of success, especially in my real estate business. Now it's just all about what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Yeah. Take the athlete, for example. I mean, there are certain athletes I'm sure that you look up to or you watch that use their platform and their success beautifully.
Yeah.
Like they impact, they make the world better. They are impacting youth's lives. They're a great role model. And that's awesome. And then you see some athletes that are just so selfish, so self-consumed, a jerk, all about themselves. And then who do you want to be at the end? So I think that's just the thing is this, you know, hopefully you are successful, but what are you going to do with it? How are you going to make an impact? What's the purpose of it all? Because again, we can't take it with us. So what's that legacy that you're going to leave behind? And even is more than your home. I have, and I'm all about family, but still a lot of guys say, well, I want to give my kids what I never had, but you know, what is that? Is that money? Is that, you know, or is it you? Is it your time? But even outside of your home, like how can you make a greater impact? So some of the things that we do is obviously Iron Deep's one. We serve and do some Guatemala organization called Transforming Futures. So again, I'm always trying to find ways to use this platform as an impact. Even this show, even the book. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, am I going to be this huge best-selling author? If it is, cool, because maybe I impact more lives. But it's like, you know, I love getting those messages that's just like, hey man, it's really impacted me. So that's kind of what I mean by that.
Yeah, 100%. And also too, right? You saw something else. You're like, you get the money, you get everything that you were looking for, and then you're realizing, wait, it's something missing here.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
It's still not hitting what I thought it would hit. Like I still feel like something is missing.
Right? Yeah. And I think the thing is, it's, you're still the same. Like I'm still the same person as I'm 27.
Yeah.
Like I don't change. So some people might think that, oh, when you reach certain levels, maybe your personality changes or maybe your insecurities change. Maybe I'm not as insecure about certain things that I was when I was 27. But you know, there was a saying that says money honestly just magnifies whatever it is. So if you were insecure at 27, now that you're rich, you are really insecure, right? If you were a jerk at 27, you're a huge jerk now.
Yeah.
If you're generous, very generous. So money and success doesn't take away all those things. You know, I still feel this twinge of insecurity by writing this book, by doing these podcasts, by thinking, oh, maybe I'm not, you know, enough or whatever. So I just want to say that that stuff never goes away with success or without it. So,
yeah, 100%. And here's what I love, because it's insecurity. I feel it too. Every time I hit publish on a podcast episode, I'm like, it's crazy. Right. If we could give folks an insight on like watching film, right? You remember those days of watching film it can be kind of cringy of like, here comes.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I know. Like watching the game films, like you don't think you did that and you do it like all the time. Like, why do I do that? I'm terrible. Right. Or like when you watch the podcast, you're like, why do I always say that?
I say, I know. And people text me, I got friends. I say 100% all the time. I know. I get it. Can't help it. But man, talk about growing up Southern Indiana. Folks don't realize, man, Southern Indiana, Indiana as a state is a basketball state. Mm-hmm. As a high school basketball player growing up, right? What was that like? Mm-hmm. I would love to hear from you. What did that feel like?
Yeah.
In your eyes?
So I always relate my family to the movie Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. So there's the sports movie Hoosiers, and that was my life growing up. My dad was a high school basketball coach.
Okay.
So for 25 years he coached me in high school.
Oh wow.
So it's cool to play for your dad maybe in, you know, second grade or third grade or fourth grade, but then to play for the high school team and have your dad as the coach.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of pressure, and people don't like you. At the end of the day, they want to see you fail, and they want to see you not play, and they want to say the only reason why you are playing is because your dad's the coach. So going through all that, that was basically my life. I played basketball all the time, and I was a very driven individual. I loved the game of basketball because it taught me the drive to achieve. I remember, you know, not coming in from the driveway, wanting to hit a certain amount of shots in a row. A saying that my dad would always say was, "Brett, you're either going to get better at basketball today or get worse. Mm-hmm. Which one are you going to do?" Right? Can that actually relate to life? Right? I mean, every single day we're either getting better or worse. And it taught me a lot. Right? And I got a basketball scholarship. My dad retired when I got a scholarship, so he went from being a coach to a player. So now the pressure's really on. So now you got your high school coach in the stands watching you, gave up his identity to come watch you play. So, you know, we kind of went through. So me and my dad, we had some ups and downs.
What was that like? What was that relationship like? Growing up.
Yeah. Me and dad had ups and downs. I mean, he was a firecracker, driven. Wanted me to achieve, and we had some ups and downs. I love my dad. He has mellowed out a lot, but during the basketball seasons, I think it was even harder when he was a parent coming to watch me in college, because then he couldn't control kind of what was going on because he wasn't the coach. So I remember there was a season where, like, dad, we got to cool down and separate for a while because I don't know if I can handle this. But my dad, he became one of my best friends. He actually was one of my best, or he was my partner in real estate when we first got started. So anyone who has that relationship with their dad, that tension, I kind of went through that, and we've talked through it, and we, you know, it's been fine and it's good. But just during those seasons, it was, it's just difficult, man. I don't know if you ever related to that, but.
Well, 100%. It's the reason why I'm asking, right? It's the reason why I'm asking. Man.
And I think even as a parent, I think sometimes we either do the same thing or we overcorrect. So I think, honestly, maybe I've even overcorrected where I've gone the opposite way. I don't push my kids enough. So.
100%. And I know I'll be trying to figure that out. Man, me and my dad was never my coach, but he was a former athlete. He played football, right? And he never wanted me to play football because, you know, head injuries, different things like that. Also grew up a very short, small, scrawny kid. Mm. So he didn't think it would be the best path for me. So naturally, you gravitate to basketball. And man, he was tough, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, what drove me was to get affirmation from him.
Yeah.
One, you know, my community where I grew up, big sports town, mm-hmm. wanted to get love from them, wanted to get love from my peers, wanted to get love from the girls at school, mm-hmm. whatever it was. That's what I built my identity and my self-image on, was my mm-hmm. performance. And so I didn't realize this until I ended up going to therapy maybe a few years ago, where I couldn't understand, you know, myself and why, you know, I had all these bunch of highs and lows, right? And it was correlating to my performance. If I felt like I was performing really well, I showed up different than if I wasn't performing really well.
Yeah. And that, and I, and I'm the same way. I think that came from the sport. I was came from the sports world. I mean, when I had a great game, I was cloud nine. Let's go. Let's celebrate. But when I didn't have a good game, I was depressed. I mean, I was like, man, I don't even know. I don't even want to do this. I don't even want to live. Sometimes in certain seasons of my life, right? I'm like, it's a game. Like, you know, you put all your eggs in that basket. But it's funny. Same thing. I was looking for affirmation from my dad, and that carries with you, and you don't know it again, if you're really radically honest. But even I'm 44, and I still think that I am trying to get some sort of affirmation by whatever I'm doing, right? Whether it's business or being the best dad I could be or writing a book. Sometimes it does just come back to boiling down, and you don't even know until you kind of just sit back and reflect on it.
Yeah, 100%. And very similar to you, me and my dad. This is like my best friend today. We talk on a daily, whether it's through text message or whatever the case may be. I just think, you know, in those early years of developing, like in my adolescence, teen years, that's how I learned to kind of receive love in a way. Was it, the only way I give love is through my performance. And it was never just by the person I am and who I am. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that carries, right. You know, we talk about your identity when the game is over. Right. I know for you, and I want to shout you out. Right. High school Hall of Fame, college Hall of Fame. You are a really good player. You know, your father, high school basketball coach, right? And so now when you're done with college and this is your identity, this is how you get love through your performance, through sport. What happens from there when you're done with sport?
Yeah.
How did you adjust?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if you aren't ready and you're not prepared, that you kind of wander and you just put performance into something else. There was a book, I think a guy named Jeffrey Marks wrote this book. I think it's called The Seasons of Life. But he talked about how men, they put their identity in the ball field or the ball court, and then they put their identity into the bedroom. Yeah. And then they put their identity into the billfold, into their wallet. And I think many men gravitate towards that. So for me, yeah, it was the ball court, graduated. Through my 20s was just womanizer.
Yeah.
And then I got into business, and then it was just all about making a bunch of money, trying to be a millionaire. Until, you know, life smacks you. And that's where I, you know, for me, I came to faith and met my wife at 32, you know, got married, and then, and here we are 12 years later. But I think just, again, honest with yourself. And if you're not careful, you're just going to try to put your performance into something else. Now, I never want to say, you know, not performing is good, because I also don't want you to be lazy and to be complacent. I want you to grow. But when there's a bigger purpose behind it, when there's a bigger why behind it that's outside of yourself, That's what I guess I'm looking for. I'm looking to impact men that can realize this isn't necessarily about me. So now, like, there was a time that I even went through success where, like, maybe I'm making too much money, or, you know, Brett, how much is enough?
Right.
Like, haven't you done enough? Haven't you made enough? Isn't it time to just chill out? And there was a few years where I even went through that season, but now, like, I have a bigger purpose and a bigger why. We're like, you know, I want all my money to go for outside of myself anyways. So it's like, you know, I can make all the money in the world, because it's just not about me. Like, I don't care. You know, so now I just want all the money that I make is just going to impact. So now the success, the platform, the money, when it's not about you, all the pressure's off, and like, hey, let's go, you know, cause I just want to impact more people. But when it starts to be about you, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's a miserable existence. So,
and we talked about this earlier, the risk you take. Men aren't taking risks. People aren't taking risk, right? And if you get your identity and your self-esteem, self-image from performance, and you think this is something that you'll fail at, you probably will stay complacent. Yeah. Right.
That's right. It's like with just with not. The it's just with the book. I mean, you know, for example, I love trying new things or trying something that I haven't ever done before. The book was just an experiment, honestly. We're like, hey, I've never done that before. I think I'd be interested in this whole process, laying out this book, and the response has been awesome, but there was a huge risk where the response could have been terrible. We're like, this book sucks, right? But that's the risk you take. You bear your soul into something, whether it's the book, the podcast, whatever it is, business. I think you got to start to ask yourself the question, you know, look yourself in the eyes 3-5 years down the road. If you don't take the risk, you're going to be in the same place. And I would rather fail than to be in that complacent place. So
100%. I love that. So where we talk about the secret war within, right? Through it all, your journey, how would you explain what the secret war within is? What is that? Somebody was to look at the cover of that book.
Yeah.
What is that?
So this book is it's an allegory book about a man named Nolan Banks. And really it just kind of pulls back the curtain of his life. Obviously it has a lot of resemblance to my life. It's not me, but has a lot of resemblance to my life. And he's struggling with some of the things that men struggle with. Again, you know, we've already talked about some of these. He spent his whole life chasing after success, all about himself. He's chased his whole life trying to find the meaning of life, you know, making the success, making the money, has a beautiful family, but he feels empty inside. He feels something's missing. He struggles with some addiction to lust and pornography, so he's struggling with that. And his friend invites him on this journey, and that's where he just, you know, again, it's a self-discovery book. It's a book. It's a Christian type of allegory about faith. And that's the journey, that's the adventure that he goes on. So he goes on this amazing adventure, struggling with these battles of, again, of all these struggles that men struggle with, you know, a lot of the lust for power, the desire that he can't let go. You know, some of the things that's just surrounding his identity, the money, he feels lonely, right? He feels isolated. So some of these, and you can kind of just see what's going on inside of his heart. Like, why am I battling all these things? I thought that I would have reached a point that I'm not struggling with these things. And I think that's why men really resonated with it. It's a very gritty, raw, PG-13 style of a masculine book that you just see some of these struggles that men struggle with. I think that's why men relate to it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's, I mean, man, in the world today, we have so much and it's only getting deeper, right? Right.
Yeah.
You know, with technology, with social media, it's so easy to tune out, to distract yourself, to numb the pain, right?
Yeah.
And so books like this, podcasts like this, people like you really are needed, right? In today's world. Because it's a war. It's a secret war, not only within, but outside of in the world, right? And so
I think that's one thing on my website. I think it was Richard, author name, I think his name is Richard Foster. He said, the world doesn't need more intelligent people. The world needs more deep people. I think that's where Iron Deep even was born out of too, was like, you know, it's about men need deep relationships. So one of the things, deep relationship with God and deep relationship with each other. So one of the things you were trying to do was just to try to build some depth. And I think we're living in such a shallow world, a very distracted, shallow world. The relationships, even though we have access to people's lives and access to communicate with people far advanced than we've ever been, there's no depth to the relationships. There's no face-to-face meetings anymore. There's no brotherhood. There's no friendship. I mean, you know, it's just becoming harder and harder to find that. because again, we're just distracted. I think one guy even said we're living in desperate distractions. So that one of the things that I love to do is just to build out the environment for depth and deep relationships.
Yeah, 100%. Because I mean, a lot of relationships, if you're not careful, your friendships would just be drinking buddies, right?
Drinking buddies or business. I mean, it depends on what season you're in. Typically, it's the frat buddies or the ball players. It's just, you know, party buddies. And then when you get to certain seasons, even success, and they say you surround yourself with certain people, and I get that, but then you're just surrounded by people just like you. It's just the successful people. All you do is talk about that, but there's still no depth. I mean, really, if something real happened in your life, they're probably not going to be there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's a shallow world. Yeah. It's so much. And I think people are looking for it, and they probably don't even realize they're looking for it. Right. And so you talk about faith, right? Faith in God, faith in deep and having deep relationships. Right.
Mm-hmm.
How has that affected you? Right. People, they've heard your story. They've heard where you've come from in your 20s and your 30s and kind of different things that you've battled. How is faith in God, how is deep relationships with others help you grow and kind of find your current identity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So number one, you know, I gave my life to God when I was about 30. So that's about 14 years ago. And that's impacted, you know, again, seeking after a higher purpose, I think is that's where it all stems at for me. It affects everything that I do in my life, with my family, with my business, how I treat people, how I try to conduct myself, my character, right? It's just all stems, my core values all stem from that. So from a biblical worldview, the deep relationships, I think, you know, as a business owner, we look at the end in mind and we're like, what do we want that to look like? So I do the same thing in my personal life. What do I want? What do I want it to look like? What do I want the end to look like? What's a vision? And it's no good for me, right? If you reach this certain level of success and you have all this stuff, but you don't have people to share it with that actually mean something to you. And so for me, it's just like, you know, I want not just my family, but those deep relationships, those deep brothers that I can do life with, that I can tell them I love them, that I can hug them, that I can tell them really what's going on, and I can listen to really what's going on with their life. Don't give me the highlight reel that you put out on social media. Just let's just lay it out. Let's be real with each other.
Yeah.
And that's just what I want to do life with. And it can't be that many people, honestly. Really, it's just a few people that it takes a lot of road miles to do that with. And I think it takes two things, honestly. It takes time. And then I think you also build depth with the intensity of time. So even at Iron Deep, we have time together, but we crank up the intensity with some of our activities or some of the conversations or some of the whatever it is, and that builds relationships. So if you think about your deep relationships that you've maybe had in the past, there's been time together, but there's probably also been intensity dialed up at certain points. You're doing something together. So, you know, we'll go back to the sports analogy. You probably at that time had decent close friends because you were trying to do something together, win together, purpose together. Or people like in the military, like they're cranking up their time, but then they're cranking up their intensity. They're trying to do something together. So at Iron Deep, you know, we've tried to even say, hey, what, we're going to spend some time together. We're going to crank up intensity. What are we going to do together? How can we sharpen each other? So these are some of the things that build deep. So I think whenever you think about those deep relationships, think about that. Think about time, but also intensity, because you also spend a lot of time with someone, but not build deep relationships too. So these are some things that I'm constantly thinking about, is time and intensity.
Yeah, quantity time and quality, actual quality time, right?
Yeah.
What are we doing together? Are we just watching TV together? But like actually getting to know each other, and then you open up because those moments actually make you open up, like, oh, and it's vulnerable, and it's gratitude together, and you actually end up opening it up deeper of like, hey, this is what I'm actually going through currently right now. You know, have you been through this? Can you help me with this? And or just being there to listen. And how can we grow together? I think that's the depth. Mm-hmm. That's friendship right there.
For sure.
And I love that.
Man. Yep. And it goes back just to the radical honesty. I always start every event where, like, you know, you don't have to wear your mask here. Just come as you are.
Man.
We're going to love you who you are. You don't have to do anything here. We don't expect anything out of you. And that's just a different way than other groups or other mastermind groups, because they might start off with, this is why we're on top. This is why you're the best. And that's okay. But ours is more of, let's just lay it out. And if everything's going great, then another core value of ours, let's just celebrate each other. I mean, I think that, wouldn't it be amazing if I could genuinely celebrate your wins, like genuinely, authentically, if we could be that brothers and build that deep relationship that I can really genuinely celebrate you, even if I'm not winning.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Man. Then that's the brotherhood that we're looking for. Yeah. So, but actually, most times you don't celebrate them internally because you're not winning.
Yeah. Right. 100%.
Right.
But like you said, it's like a level of like, man, it's a friendship, real friendship where we're not competing, you know, it's healthy competition. Like we're actually making each other better.
Yeah.
And also too, it may not be my season where I'm winning, but you're winning. And I know my season is going to come. I'm secure enough to know my season is going to come.
That's right. And we all go through those seasons. I mean, we all go through different seasons. I've went through high seasons in business, low seasons in business, high season in relationship, low season in relationship. So we all need each other to kind of sharpen each other during those seasons for sure.
I love it. Brett, man, you shared, first of all, your story, and it was relatable to me, but it's relatable to so many men. And this is what we need in this world today. And I just love what you do for men today, what you do for the world, and what you did for my show today. I appreciate it.
No, thanks, Josh, for having me on. I really appreciate you and everything that you're doing, man. I mean, I take myself back to your season, your age. You know, I started my business about your age. And here we are 17 years later. It goes super fast, but I know where you're at. I know of your audience, where they're sitting at. They're hungry. They can feel it. They want it so bad. So I just encourage you, man, just to keep going. I know it's going to be tough. Sometimes you're not going to want to maybe do a show. Yeah. Just say, keep doing, man. Keep consistent. One of our core values is consistent growth. It's not the exploding growth. It's just that consistent growth every day, man.
100%. I appreciate it. Where can folks find you at? Where can folks find your book? Book is Amazon, or where can folks kind of find you?
Yeah. So the book Secret War Within by Brett Snodgrass, the best places. Yeah. Amazon. And the best thing you can do for us in the book is really just buy a physical copy of the book and then leave us a review. It is on audible.com. So if you'd rather listen to the book, you know, sometimes that's as well. My email is Brett, B-R-E-T-T at irondeep.com. So I love, you know, I told you before the show, Josh, I love sitting at someone's feet that has passed where I was at. So I'm 44 now. I love listening to 50 to 60 year old men that, you know, with they're already past my season. So your season, if you want to talk to me and ask me some questions about business, life, whatever, it's Brett at irondeep.com. Our website's irondeep.com. And if you're interested in anything, we got all of our events on there. So if you're interested in that, check that out.
Yeah. Great. Everything is buttoned up for sure. After looking at everything that you got going on. So I love it. And I definitely leave all that in the footnotes and direct people that direction.
Awesome. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Our brand design and strategy is by Tessa at 5footstudios.com. You can also follow her on Instagram at 5footstudios. Our music is by Lakey Inspired. Go ahead, subscribe so that you never miss an episode, and click the 5 stars to give us a rating. And most importantly,